James, a very good morning to you. Welcome.
Good morning. Good to be with you again.
Now, protests in Iran seem to be fueling false hopes of a regime fall.
Right. Well, you have had for the past week protests against water shortages, particularly in the south Iranian province of Khuzestan, which is one of its poorest areas, but that's where Iran's oil riches lie. What that is doing is, and those protests have increasingly not only focused on the water and the environmental issues, but also on criticism of the regime itself, and in some cases, slogans calling for the fall of the regime. The protests are real. There's no question about it. The question is whether these kind of protests really endanger the stability of the regime. And the last 40 years have proven that they do not. In fact, the more restrained analysts on Iran suggest that this regime could last another generation.
Now, water seems to be emerging as a driver of multiple conflicts in the Middle East. Is the theory still correct that if there were to be another world war, God forbid, that it would be over water?
Well, I'm not going to go as far as predicting another world war, which, if it happened, would go far beyond the Middle East. What I think is true is, and that's actually for the past decade, that water has been at the core of some of the problems, and is increasingly originating or aggravating conflict in the region. Go back to 2011 in Syria. Those protests started in part against the government because of drought and water shortage. And then they escalated, obviously, into a civil war. What you're seeing now is the protests we just discussed in Iran. We're seeing a major dispute between Egypt and Sudan on the one hand, and Ethiopia on the other hand, about the Ethiopians filling a huge dam which could affect the flow of the waters of the Nile. And that's taking on geopolitical aspects, with Saudi Arabia, for example, backing the Egyptian and the Sudanese position. You're also seeing tensions between Iraq and Turkey over water. So increasingly, as we confront an environmental crisis, we are seeing water being a driver of conflict in the Middle East.
Tell us about the potential hand of the UAE in Tunisia's conflict, not contradicting widespread popular discontent.
It's all circumstantial. There is no smoking gun. And there is no doubt that there is widespread discontent in Tunisia, where people want to see economic change and economic improvement, and may be willing to surrender freedoms to achieve that, and blame the parties. Now, the question is whether the president, who has grabbed power, Saeed, can fulfill those aspirations. I think that's very questionable. But as you look at what's happening in Tunisia, there are telltale signs of the UAE, particularly, maybe also Egypt, exploiting that widespread discontent in much the same way that happened in 2013 with the overthrow of the democratically elected president Mohamed Morsi in Egypt. So, for example, the one media organization that has been closed down is Al Jazeera. Sure, there was a change of the head of state-run television, but of the foreign media organizations, only Al Jazeera was closed down. This was celebrated in Gulf media, particularly in the United Emirates and Saudi Arabia, as a defeat of the Muslim Brotherhood, with which the Ennahda party in Tunisia in the past was associated, and the UAE seeing the Muslim Brotherhood as the foremost threat to its stability. So there are all these telltale signs, and it will take time before we can really connect dots and verify whether the UAE played a role.
Finally, then, Jordan debated encouraging Shiite religious tourism. How did that go? Are they reaching out to Iran and Syria's Assad?
Well, I think what's happening is it does have geopolitical consequences, without question. Keep in mind that Jordan borders on Syria, which is governed by the Alawites, a sect that is associated with the Shiites. They border on Iraq, which is a majority Shiite country. And don't forget that King Abdullah in past years has warned that there was a Shiite crescent emerging in the Middle East. What you're seeing here is a proposal by a lawyer that is being seriously debated to exploit the fact that Jordan, that Syria and Iran, Iraq are not the only countries with Shiite religious touristic attractions, but also Jordan. But Jordan is in a very troubled economic situation as a result of Middle East conflict, as a result of the pandemic. It needs whatever income it can get. But beyond that, what it does is, of course, it would forge strong, if it encourages Shiite tourism, it would forge stronger relations both with the Iraqi government and with the government in Bashar al-Assad, something which, for example, the Saudis and the Emiratis would probably appreciate, which again could be turned into an economic advantage for Jordan.
James, thank you so much. We'll talk again next week.
My pleasure. Look forward to that.
That was this week's Middle East Report with James Dorsey.